say a special thank you to Reverend Greg Dixon for who graciously allowed us to use this beautiful facility for this memorial service. Our family deeply appreciates the outpouring of love and support we've experienced from thousands of people over the last 2 weeks, and we thank you. Of all the speeches I've given in my life, this is the one I hope to never have to give. My dad was my hero. All of you knew him and were acquainted with him to varying degrees, but he was my best friend. He would tell me often that I was his partner, and we shared a very close relationship that I would always cherish. He always told me that I could do anything, and as busy as he was never too busy for me. We would talk about everything, and we always seemed to know each other's thoughts and the philosophy behind what we were doing. Looking back over his life, I am so proud of him, and I'm amazed at what he accomplished. It seems like he crammed 4 or 5 lifetimes into a short 77 years. Everything he did revolved around ministry and serving others. I remember vividly him reminding me in every business venture to find the ministry in it. For Dad, it was all about serving God and others. The evening before my father suffered his heart attack, Barbara, Brittany, Angel, and Ashton and I were in Dad's office, and he began reciting one of his favorite poems, Sail On, which was hanging on the wall. His voice dropped with emotion and swelled with enthusiasm as he read again the lines he loved so well. Behind him lay the great Azores, behind the gates of Hercules. Before him, not the ghost of shores, before him, only endless seas. The good mate said, "Now must we pray, for lo, the very stars are gone. Brave admiral, speak, what shall I say? Why say, sail on and on. My men grow mutinous day by day. My men grow ghastly, wan, and weak. The stout mate thought of a home. A spray of salt wake washed his swarthy cheek. What shall I say, brave admiral, say, if we sight not but seas and dawn? Why, you shall say at break of day, sail on, sail on, sail on and on." They sailed and sailed as winds might blow, until at last the blanched mate said, "Why, now not even God would know, should I and all my men fall dead. These very winds forget their way, for God from these dread seas is gone. Now speak, brave admiral, speak and say." He said, "Sail on, sail on and on." They sailed, then spake the mate, "This mad sea shows his teeth tonight. He curls his lip, he lies in wait, he lifts his teeth as if to bite. Brave admiral, say, but one good word, what shall we do when hope is gone?" The words leap like a leaping sword, "Sail on, sail on, sail on and on." Then pale and worn, he kept his deck and peered through darkness. Ah, that night of all dark nights. And then a speck. A light, at last a light. It grew, a starlit flag unfurled. It grew to be time's burst of dawn. He gained a world. He gave that world its grandest lesson. On, sail on. I believe the poet, while speaking of Columbus, also summed up the life of my father in his famous poem. Dad was a man of vision, a man of ideas, but also a man of action. He was never content to be a spectator in the grandstands. He wanted to be in the race, and he ran it well to the very end. There are 3 attributes of my father I want to share with you today. First of all, my father was a man of courage. I never knew my father to show fear, be afraid, or shirk what he felt was the right thing to do because of fear. He wasn't politically motivated. He didn't look around to see what was in it for him. He didn't stick his finger in the air to see which way the wind was blowing. If it was a biblical principle, he would stand with everybody or with nobody. My father was a strong man who didn't like to show weakness. No matter what the task, he always said, "We can do it." Can't was a word he didn't use. Try was a word he never liked. And quit was unthinkable.
Amen.
He fully believed and practiced the verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Freedom isn't free. Liberty requires eternal vigilance. And I wouldn't make a good slave, the statements he often quoted. He had the courage to place himself in whatever position he felt would accomplish the most for God.
Right.
One of my dad's good friends came up to the hospital to visit this last week and said to me, one time I called your dad on the phone and said to him, Brother Gene, I've tried everything and I'm completely out of options. He said, your dad replied, good. Now that you're out of the way, we can see what God is going to do. That was my father, a man of great courage. Secondly, my father was a man of character. He often told me that character isn't developed in the storm, but revealed in the storm. I never saw him quit. I never saw him retreat. He was a bold man, a man of integrity, a visionary who saw not just today or tomorrow, but years into the future. But he didn't just see it. He took action. And made things happen. His word was his bond, and I've seen his character in all types of situations with all types of people. He was no different in the presence of presidents than he was helping the homeless fellow on the street. He was never intimidated, never put on airs, and certainly was never ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter who he was with. My dad's character was to give. Mom shared with me this week that while they were still in college, the very first missionary service they were in together was when a missionary from New Guinea spoke of a need, and Dad pledged $100 while making $3 an hour at a little part-time job. Mom was flabbergasted, but Dad somehow paid that pledge, and that self-sacrifice went on to become the story of my dad's life. He was a giver. He wasn't a traitor, wondering what he was going to get in return. He learned to give sacrificially, denying himself, and in many ways lived like a pauper so he could give more to ministries he was working with. Many of you know that Mom and Dad recently moved closer to us, and as we were moving them, I was stunned to see that they had the same mattress that was given to them as a wedding present 56 years ago. I couldn't believe it. And I questioned Dad, but he just shrugged it off and said it was fine and that they never needed a new one. Cars, houses, earthly possessions, money, none of these were ever what my dad was about, cared about, or worked for. His character was to give and give and to give some more. Advance God's kingdom around the world. Today, I honor a man with that kind of character and hope that I can become more like the man who has given me such a great heritage and legacy. Thirdly, my father was a man of conviction. While I applaud his courage and admire his character, I value his conviction the most. What is conviction and what does it mean to be a man of conviction? Webster says, assurance, certainty, confidence, creed, doctrine, dogma, faith, and principle. These are the things my dad has built his life on and given his life for. And he always stood true to his convictions. I want to thank you, Dad, for keeping your vision, and like Columbus, you've sailed on and on. You were a leader among men, an eagle who soared alone to the heavens and came back to lead men. You were able to look at yourself each night in the mirror and be proud of what you and God had accomplished that day. Your leadership, enthusiasm, and motivation was inspiration and will be sorely missed. The last week of his life, my dad sat in my office and told me how happy he was. We agreed together that the last 9 months had been the happiest, most wonderful time for all of our family as we were able to spend more quality time together. He was excited about the future and told me with a chuckle that so many good things were happening for him. He He said, God has blessed me so much, and he has blessed our family. God is so good.
Amen.
Little did either of us know that less than 2 days later, he would be laying in a hospital room from which he would be translated to heaven. My father often told me over the years that he wanted to be working when God called him home. Son, he said, I hope God allows me to wear out and not to rust out. My life is ministry and doing for others, so I hope I just drop while working. And God granted him his request. As was customary for him, he was going full speed and had one cell phone in his pocket and was talking on a second cell phone, planning, coordinating, and directing what was to be the biggest weekend of his life. God's clock keeps perfect time, he often told me. And for my father, God's clock seemed to bring everything to a terrific climax the last week of his life. My dad had never been so excited. After ministering and being involved in missions all his life, his hard work and dreams in Papua New Guinea were culminating in a visit on Sunday from the Speaker of Parliament, the Governor and Representative of the Prime Minister, other members of Parliament, and over 30 church leaders who were flying in from halfway around the world to receive a 1611 first edition King James Bible from my father. While the gift was significant, what my father was really excited about was the speaker and other leaders of the country declaring that they wanted to be a Christian nation and have their foundation built upon the Word of God. Dad had just told me the evening before his heart attack that God is doing big things in Papua New Guinea. He said, Rand, it's too big for me to get my arms around. But God is moving and doing something great for that country that I believe will impact the entire world. With all this scheduled for the weekend, how could God allow my dad to have a heart attack at 10:52 on Friday morning? For myself and our family, it seemed that God's clock had just malfunctioned. This was 2 days before the big celebration day on Sunday, and not only was I in shock at my dad's heart attack, I felt a little betrayed by God. There was no way I could see how this was God's will or this was God's way. And the verse my father often liked to quote to me and to so many others, all things work together for good, seemed about a million miles away at that moment. But as I cried and prayed and struggled to come to grips with what had happened, the biblical principles that my father had instilled in me and that I had heard so many, many times began to come through. And I watched in amazement as God began to unfold miracle after miracle through my father's illness. And the verse popped into my mind of the prophecy of the high priest stating it was necessary that one man should die for the good of the people. I knew without question that my father had always been willing to sacrifice himself for the kingdom. That was the way he lived. I had seen him do this so many times throughout his life. And now I was seeing him make the ultimate sacrifice at the time of his death. In that hospital room, as the speaker grabbed my hand and said that my father's heart attack had raised this from a physical dimension to a higher spiritual dimension, I watched as God began to work, coordinating people and events that could have never happened and never taken place if my dad had not been laying in that hospital bed. I watched as God opened doors for the educational curriculum based on biblical principles that Dr. Ron Johnson and my father had worked on for 20 years, be chosen as the new national curriculum for the entire country of Papua New Guinea. I saw God work out the approval for 3 large new radio towers, which would send out the Christian message over the airwaves throughout the country and into the neighboring country of Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world. I listened as the government leaders asked us to help them draft legislation to honor God's word and to aid in their development as a Christian nation for many, many years to come. Seeing these miracles and others like them, however, should have been no surprise to me. God using my father in a crisis or climax such as this last week was nothing new. That was the way he had always lived. And miracles such as these happened over and over throughout his life. All because my father was an empty vessel, waiting to be filled and used by God. He often said, it's amazing what can get done when we don't care who gets the credit. And Dad never sought the limelight, and he did nothing for the praise of men. My father would not have even allowed the 1611 Bible to be given in his name, as he avoided recognition, but God chose to honor him in a very special way during his last week on earth. And the Bible he gave has already been proclaimed as a national treasure in Papua New Guinea. My father could truly say, along with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. All through his 77 years, my father exhibited courage, character, and conviction to do exploits, and who I have no doubt is now rejoicing, singing, and shouting on the Hallelujah side. Dad had formed the habit many years ago to get up in the middle of the night for a couple of hours of prayer and Bible reading and study. And his last night before the heart attack was no exception. After his death, when I went into his office, and while looking across his desk, I was amazed to see on the very top that he had written a short prayer on a post-it note from what he had been reading that very night. I close this tribute to my father with the last words that he wrote while on this earth, inspired by the book he was reading that night about heaven. O Lord, thank you for not telling us how wonderful and glorious heaven is. If we knew, we would all be begging to die to get there as fast as we could. I love you.